Well, let's go to Myanmar now, where the party of the country's de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, has won nearly half of the seats contested in by-elections held over the weekend. This was the first vote since her National League for Democracy came to power a year ago. The party won 9 out of 19 seats in the national and regional parliaments on Sunday, but they suffered losses in more remote areas, parts of which have been riven by ethnic violence. The biggest test for Aung San Suu Kyi arguably remains the ongoing conflict in the Rakhine State in Myanmar's southwest, where most of the persecuted Rohingya Muslim community resides. Jörg Montani is the outgoing head of the International Red Cross delegation in Myanmar. He's here in Australia for a series of meetings with government officials. He's also giving some public lectures. Jörg Montani joins us from Canberra. Jörg, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Thanks for having me.
Jörg, since Aung San Suu Kyi's party won government a year ago, Myanmar has sort of fallen off the attention or out of attention for the rest of the world, Western world by and large. But it does appear that conflicts dividing the country have gotten worse, not better. How would you describe the situation on the ground now in Myanmar?
Yes, Fran, indeed. I think over the last 12 months, we've seen more intense conflict, particularly in the northeast, and then the new insurgency in northern Rakhine in October. So overall, the situation has gone down. I think what we need to remember is that Myanmar has gone through decades of conflict. It's actually host to one of the longest non-international armed conflicts, and the effects on the population are quite devastating, cumulative over the decades.
Let's zero in on the conflict around the Rohingya Muslim community, because the UN Human Rights Council is currently investigating alleged human rights abuses by Myanmar's army against the Rohingya minority. There have been reports of gang rapes, of mass killings. Myanmar's government says it's carrying out its own investigation. Are you confident that the government, this government so closely associated with Aung San Suu Kyi, run by her party, will get to the bottom of this, because her record on the Rohingya issue hasn't been so glowing, has it?
Well, I think it's extremely important that those allegations are taken very seriously and are investigated. Now, there are different means to go about this. We have the OHCHR with its flash report, and now the Human Rights Council with its resolution.
Which the government is not happy about, is it?
The government is not happy about. They prefer a much more, let's say, constructive approach. They would like to keep control of the investigations themselves. And I think this is where we need to find ways to engage with the government to allow them to make those investigations as credible as possible.
There are terrible stories. I mean, I already mentioned rape and gang rapes and mass killings. And in last in February, we reported on allegations of, you know, a 5-year-old being slaughtered. And I mean, just horrible stories. Is the Myanmar government taking action? Have you, from the work you're doing there and your organisation to there, do you see them taking action? Because this is what they promised. What are they doing to take on the army? Because it's the army, it's the soldiers who are accused of these horrible things, isn't it?
Well, we do receive some allegations ourselves. It's part of the work that the ICRC does in the field when we work with the communities affected by conflict. We share those allegations that we receive directly with the authorities concerned, and we do expect an investigation to be carried out. Now, the government has set up a number of investigation commissions, a national one led by the vice president, and then the military and the police have set up separate investigations. The question that is raised internationally now is about the credibility of those commissions. Mm. And I think that's where the international community also needs to find ways to support the efforts of the government to make those investigations credible.
What, when you deal with the government, when your organisation, the Red Cross, deals with the government and deals with the president, U Thin Jor, who became president after Aung San Suu Kyi's party won the election, and when you deal with Aung San Suu Kyi herself, what response do you get? Because the government sees the Rohingya as immigrants, it denies them citizenship. There is hardship on many levels for the Rohingya.
There is, and we're trying to address this hardship. I think an organization like ours, like the ICRC, a humanitarian organization by nature, very, very discreet, we try to address the effects of those conflicts on the population. We try to not only do emergency relief, but really address longer term issues, close to development issues. And I think for that, we have a positive response from the government. I think where we'd need even more understanding is the importance of this kind of work accompanying peace processes, accompanying the longer term objectives of creating stability and economic growth in the border areas such as Rakhine, Kachin and Chan.
It's 28 past eight. Our guest is Jörg Montani, the outgoing head of the International Red Cross delegation in Myanmar. He's held that position for several years now. These recent elections on the weekend, where the government of Aung San Suu Kyi didn't fare terribly well, really, presumably a vote of no confidence from some of those areas. Is it just about the conflict or is it about the economic situation? And is the government failing to live up to the promises it made? What kind of issues are there on the economic front, and what kind of support can an organisation like yours give in that?
Well, if you read all the reviews about the first year in power of the NLD government, yes, you will hear a lot of critique. If we look at the elections, many of the seats that have now been won by ethnic groups, political ethnic groups, they were not contested in the last election. So as by-elections, they now cover the ones that could not be covered due to conflict during the actual elections. It's not a great surprise that the ethnic groups have won some of those seats. It is their territory. It is their constituency. At the same time, yes, the result is not the same landslide victory that we saw during the November 15 elections. Indeed, now what the ICRC can do in this is indeed we work on the longer term issues that affect those areas. Mm. We design our programs in a way that although we are a humanitarian organization, we can contribute to stabilizing the populations in those areas. We can contribute to prepare the ground for development work, mm-hmm. for development actors to come in, whilst at the same time addressing very pressing needs of the population in those areas.
A good example of that is in the Shan State, and the Shan State is one of those areas where there is violence and conflict and militia. And the organization, the Red Cross, has just opened, I think, a $1.3 million physical rehab center to assist weapon wounded patients regain mobility. So this is important, isn't it? Myanmar is severely affected by landmines.
It's unfortunately, I think it ranks number three in terms of number of landmine victims per year, and that for several years running now. So yes, it is incredibly badly affected by landmines and unexploded ordnance. And we have another centre that has been running with the Myanmar Red Cross for more than 10 years. And what we see is that almost half of the patients that come to this centre are victims of mines or unexploded ordnance. And we expect that we'll have a similar ratio in this new centre in Chang Tong in Shan and the other new centre in Michina in Kachin.
Jörg, these are the challenges that the Red Cross is there to help with. Does great work. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Fran.
Jörg Montani, the outgoing head of the International Red Cross delegation in Myanmar, which has been the head there since August 2013. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 28 minutes to 9.